If I'm not mistaken, you first heard about this particular group while reading David Remnick's article from the New Yorker. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's fair.
What was it about the article that kind of made you decide this is the subject matter I've been looking for after Cartel Land?
I was traveling around the country with the film and trying to understand this phenomenon of what was happening with ISIS. And doing a lot of research into the group and reading about it. And when I came across that article by Remnick, I just immediately knew that this was my window into the story. And I reached out to the guys. And about a week later, I started filming, so it all happened quite quickly.
Wow. Did you start out in Turkey, or did it start in Germany and kind of go backwards the way you were filming?
The first thing we actually filmed was the award show, but we the first, location that I actually went to was Turkey, not Germany. Wow. I knew basically from the beginning that I wanted the through line of the film to be this exodus as members of their group were forced to flee, as members of their group were escaping Syria after the deaths of their colleagues, and it would be this sort of exodus from Syria to Turkey and then ultimately to Europe, moving from safe house to safe house, escaping from ISIS, while constantly coming back and forth to life inside the caliphate through the amazing footage that the group has been collecting and continuing to collect.
And I was blown away by the footage you chose to put into the film. Can you talk about showcasing some of the more gruesome ISIS footage that they were able to take from Syria and put out to the world? Because you do show a lot of killings. It's definitely one of the more hard-hitting looks into what ISIS is doing.
Yeah, I mean, some of the footage is ISIS footage as well. I mean, it's a combination of the two things, but I think, the citizens of Raqqa have lived through untold horrors that are truly unimaginable. And to not show the violence, to not show the fear that they live with every single day, would be doing injustice to the horrors that they experience. And so, on the other hand, I didn't want people to run out of movie theaters because it was so intense. And so it was very much a balancing act between these two things.
Looking at the team that you have, I mean, I know you shoot and you use one camera in particular. Can you talk about, though, sticking with the same editor, same sound guys? I mean, you've kind of got the same unit that you had at Cartel Land, and you've kind of transitioned well. Was that always the plan? Is that what you would like to do?
Yeah, I think as you evolve as a human being or as a filmmaker or whatever the hell you're doing in life, it's always nice to be doing it with people that inspire you and people that you have a sort of shorthand with. And so, in making City of Ghosts, I wanted to sort of, have the same sort of aesthetic and vibe as Cartel Land. Obviously, different stories, different place, different characters. But I wanted to bring largely, most of the team back that has been with me on Cartel Land. It's just nice to be able to do that when possible. And they're obviously an extremely talented group of filmmakers and especially in the editor, we sort of finish each other's sentences.
As far as the way you shoot as the cinematographer, you kind of have a bare bone system. You've got a shotgun mic, and I mean, I know you use lavs on some of the guys, but can you talk about the choice in camera you particularly like and why you shoot that way and not, kind of rigging it out like so many of these big kind of budget things and films, attempt to do?
I mean, I use the Canon C300 Mark II, and I love that camera. I don't think I could have made a film like City of Ghosts the way I did without that camera. It's small, nimble. It has a very beautiful image. With the sort of small footprint that I like to have, when operating alone, it just doesn't make any sense to sort of rig it out with, you know, follow focus or monitors or shoulder, you know, mounts. For me, I just literally use the body of the camera, shotgun mic, a viewfinder that attaches to the LCD, and a lav mic. I'm not sure if I said that. That allows me also, I can shoot 10 hours straight without stopping. It's just a much easier way to make, you know, very intimate films like this, at least for me.
With your films all the way back to Escape Fire, you've made Sundance really your launching point, or luckily you've been able to do that. Can you talk about the Sundance experience, and then also, I know, you know, with Cartel Land and now City of Ghosts, the way that the movies have been bought, and it's been a big deal for you to be at Sundance. Can you talk in particular about that festival and the way it's impacted, you know, your career?
Sundance has been incredible to me. I don't know if it would be extreme to say I wouldn't have a career if it wasn't them, but I can probably partially say that, at least. You know, they've supported these last three films, Escape Fire, Cartel, and City of Ghosts. They've launched each of the films at the festival. It's an amazing community that they've cultivated on all different parts of the sort of filmmaking spectrum, and it's really allowed me to have a voice and encouraged me, and they've encouraged me to have a voice, and so I'm just extraordinarily grateful to both the Institute as well as the programmers for believing in me as a filmmaker and helping launch my films out in the world as well.
With Cartel Land, I follow you on Twitter, and you were able to tell us back a couple of months ago about Dr. Morales and him being finally let go from prison, and I'm curious, with the subject matters that you're dealing with, you obviously are going to be connected to these people forever. Can you talk about the relationships you've been able to build with your subject matters, both in Cartel Land and obviously now with the wonderful team that, you know, is with Raqqa?
I think, you know, with the films that I've made and films that I want to continue to make, they're, you know, deeply, deeply personal films. And I think, you know, one of the values of documentary film in general is the ability to sort of put a human face to these otherwise sort of impenetrable topics, you know, healthcare, Mexican drug wars, ISIS, Syria, immigration, and, you know, allow people to meet characters that they might not otherwise get to meet, and to enter worlds that they might not otherwise get to enter. And I think in making films in this intimate way, without a script, without, necessarily a preconceived notion, letting a story dictate where it goes, it creates a sort of a visceral experience, hopefully, at least, that makes people have a tiny bit more empathy for what's happening. You know, I guess in the case of City Ghosts, a tiny bit more empathy for the folks in Raqqa's Wings on our family, for the people of Raqqa, for the people of Syria, and to some degree, I guess, to immigrants all across the world who are being forced to flee places like Raqqa, places like Syria, because they're in, you know, extreme danger.
Kind of piggybacking off that, one of the particular parts of the film that I was really amazed at was seeing the rally from in Germany, of the anti-immigrant rally, and it's something that's also been brought up in the way that you've approached Americans and Donald Trump in particular about the way we approach looking at, you know, the Syrian, you know, bombs aren't going to save them type situation that you've brought up many times. Can you talk about trying to give a voice that isn't necessarily, you know, military action will save these people, but, you know, we've got to see who's actually there and what types of people we can actually help. I think it's important that in your film in particular, you show us that here's a rally that wants to get rid of all immigrants, yet these immigrants are not bad immigrants. These are positive people that have done a lot of great things and are journalists, and they're trying to save their people, and they're good to society.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the tragedy here of this, you know, I hate to be political, and I try to make my film not political, to invite people from all different sides to the issue, to the film, to the room, to the conversation. But, you know, these guys that I documented for the past year, you know, they were forced to flee Raqqa because they were, you know, they're unbelievers. They you know, they didn't believe in ISIS. And then when they get to Germany, you know, they're being yelled at for being terrorists. And so, you know, I think, this is not why I made this film, but I think an interesting sort of byproduct of the film is that so often portrayals of Muslim men, Syrian men, are either as terrorists or as victims. And the vast majority of people are somewhere in between. Excuse me, not somewhere in between. Are not either of those. I didn't mean to like make that a spectrum. And so for me, you know, it's very important to not put these guys in stereotypical boxes, but to really allow them to be human, to be unique, to be to show the love and the bonds and the camaraderie between them, to show the love between the teacher and his wife as they're flirting in the subway, to show the guys hugging and kissing each other when they're seeing each other for the first time since being in Raqqa together. You know, these moments of humanity were incredibly important to me.
Can you talk about, you know, the film's about to come out in New York and about to get wider release from there. Can you talk about Amazon Studios and that connection? And then also, you know, when you get to put this on TV, you've kind of had a connection to A&E now with Molly and that team since Cartel Land, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm incredibly grateful to Molly and the Indie Films and A&E in general for supporting and being partners with me on City of Ghosts and Cartel Land. You know, they've been incredibly, incredibly supportive of me. You know, and for believing in me at a really early stage, I think that's one of the biggest issues in documentary film today is that, you know, funders and distributors want scripts. You know, they want to invest in stories that have a clear beginning, middle, and end. And the films that I make don't. And, you know, oftentimes I just know what the first act is going to be, but I have no idea what the second or third act is going to be. And that's, to me, what makes it so exciting. But for distributors and funders, it's a scary proposition. And so, you know, I have an enormous amount of respect for Molly for believing me, both of these films at such an early stage. And then, you know, with Amazon, they've been an incredible partner, a dream partner, really, because, you know, they have, you know, obviously incredible power and muscle, but they're, you know, they're filmmakers. They all come from, they have film background. They're not, you know, just execs, and you know, they really understand film in a wonderful way. And they believe in all different, you know, aspects of distribution. You know, it's not just you know, they believe in the theatrical model, they believe in the digital model, they believe in allowing it to be on TV, they believe in giving the film a life on every, you know, avenue of distribution. And to me, that's important. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're a dream partner.
I've got to ask, I know.
I was about to say, we're just about at time, so if you want to wrap it up with one more question.
Yeah, sure, definitely. Kind of final question. I know you might not necessarily know where your next steps are because you're in the throes of this film, but I'm curious. You know, you talked about The New Yorker was a place where you found inspiration. Matthew, what do you look to in film or TV or reading that helps inspire you, or you know, just kind of what do you look at when you're, you know, not in the throes of you making your films?
I've generally found that when I try to plot out my next moves, it doesn't really work. The films that have worked for me are films that have completely slapped in the face when I wasn't looking, and when I wasn't necessarily wanting to make a film. You know, this film has made no sense in terms of when and how I was making. You know, I was on the road, traveling around the cartel land, and I really was barely breathing, but you know, I heard about the story and I felt compelled to tell it. And so I generally try not to premeditate things. I generally try to let, you know, be comfortable in the uncomfortable, and you know, let things come, you know, when they will.
Very cool. Well, Matthew, thank you for the time, and I know we've been able to see Cartel Land and City of Ghosts at the Dallas International Film Festival, and we just love your work and can't wait to see, you know, what the next uncomfortable situation you put yourself into.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you both.